This is Rachelix After Hours.
Welcome, welcome everyone. We've made it back. It's the other side of the holiday season. We're in our usual pub. And we've got a little bit of an update to do. We do have to visit, unfortunately, the B word again today because they just won't stop. They're taking no prisoners. We're going to have a little bit of a Christmassy update. Nam's just around the corner, so we've got that going. And there might be some pop culture stuff coming in finally, which we haven't had so far. Thank you, Andy, for being the most cultured of us around here.
Oh, that's easy.
So we've got the usuals. We've got Pete, we've got Andy, my name's Ben. We've also got colleagues Telmo and Nada, who may well chip in. We've actually got the handheld mic, so they won't be very quiet little people just around the corner. We'll actually be able to hear them, hopefully. The Christmas summary, I think, first. Andy Roo, anything exciting that happened over your Christmas in terms of musical... thingies,
oh, musical maybe. Thingies. No, I actually took a break. I'd been so used to working...
musical detox.
Yeah, kind of. I rediscovered my love for the Beatles. That's about it. To be honest, kind of going through and listening to music again when I could do. It's been a little bit of a welcome break after working pretty much 7 days a week for the past year.
Gross.
to be able to kind of sit down and unwind. However, I did, as a result of that, get caught up with a Christmas illness. And I think it's like slowing down a little bit. I was talking to someone else about it. It's like slowing down for a little bit. All of a sudden your body catches up and you feel like death. So other than that, it was a really merry Christmas.
Hooray!
Illness and the Beatles.
There's an illness and the Beatles, yeah. So I'm trying to make myself like Paul McCartney because I'm a big John fan. So I'm trying to discover tracks of McCartney's that I actually enjoy. But other than that, it's been pretty chill. Now that I'm back again looking at the 7 days a week, starting to feel a little bit better, which is actually quite worrying.
That's just your few retail days and the rest you are a slave to the studio. Is that how it's going down?
Yeah, that's exactly how I describe it.
Studio coffee slave and studio, also doing some serious mastering, mixing.
Lots of mastering.
Sometimes.
Now.
Have we actually said which studio you're at? Are we going to do that? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Do we want to check it out? It's up to you, Andy.
It's Burfield Recording Studio. And if you are wondering, because I'm sure you are, it's Burfield. That's how you spell Burfield.
Lovely
Burfield
stuff.
Recording Studio. That's where I work.
Round about the Reading way.
Round about the Reading area, yeah. So if you're looking to do some recording in your local, anywhere in the southeast, it's pretty easy to get to us. Alternatively, send us your mixes, send us your masters. I'll do a job.
Sounds good. Put food on Andy's table.
Yeah, put food on the table. After Christmas, I need more.
Oh, lovely. Pete, anything your Christmas brought to you?
No, it was very low key, to be honest. I mean, I was mostly...
As it should be.
Yeah, I was mostly working.
Oh, great.
So
I took some extra days as well.
Yeah, I think I just had Christmas Day and Boxing Day off. I had a day after that. I had that Urec case to fabricate and get ready and load up with modules and get sent off to Bulgaria, or it went off with my colleague to Bulgaria. It was a little bit last minute, so... As I say, it was a bit of a challenge. It was a bit rough and ready, but it functioned. You know, the modules
and
went
it
in.
Survived it, customs.
It survived the whole... It was carried as hand luggage, so did survive. But it didn't... I don't believe there was any particular weird raised eyebrows about it. It was a sort of distressed customs control people. Either
always nervous about that.
Yeah, even leaving or departing from the UK or arriving at the other end. So that was a success. And then the following week... I was working again, so I haven't spent a great deal of time. I sort of put my hands to the wheel, basically.
Fair enough. I think I managed to get five days off over the period that I got. The only thing interesting that happened was I received a Bastel Castle, really teeny tiny modular synth, which has the breadboard patch cables, which I already had one. I asked for another one. So now I can kind of cross patch between them. So it's a really fun little noise box. But then I do want to grab myself a Monotron delay. Monotrons have been around for ages now. That was one of the first Sonic State videos I ever saw, was one of the Korg Monitron things. But grab the delay, put some castle-y bits through it, have a tiny, tiny noisy battery-powered thing. That's the
plan. So did you say you had the Monitron and you were just...
That's the plan, Stan.
Well, I'm still quite excited, although I haven't got my hands on one yet, is the NewTek.
Yeah, they've... Unfortunately, we were talking to them when they were around our certain retailer area doing some videos for some unreleased things that we may or may not discuss later. But they said, yeah, NewTek, no idea when they're actually going to turn up. I know we thought they were going to be end of this month, end of January, but no idea. Which is sad because they're amazing.
So have they got some sort of supply chain problems with them?
I don't think they told me. No, I don't think they did. Just they had no idea when they were going to be available.
Mm. And I hear that the B word
is
going to have to be uttered again.
Yeah.
Because was it the end of the year brought good tidings or something like that?
I can't remember when the announcement was, but we've had enough of a gap after that one episode that was basically all Behringer. So we've got the cat and two TD3 colours, I think.
I think this was literally on... the last day of December when they did it, because it was prior to the new year, so it might have been on New Year's Eve, but it's certainly
two colours, because I think when I saw the video I thought it was gold, but is it like a bright horrible yellow?
It's a very bright yellow smiley face
with the acid
and face on it and everything, and it's a limited edition,
yeah,
and the black one as well,
yeah, and we still haven't seen any of the first ones in our shores.
I say original, like the
the first three colours.
So we were thinking that we would start seeing them at the end of January,
right? In February, because obviously orders will go through. We won't see any in the shop, but they'll turn up eventually.
Oh, so they'll all be pre-ordered, yeah. The ones that we come through, but we've got a lot coming in.
Yeah, I'm more interested in the cat, to be honest, and I also know nothing about it, and Telmo's not looking at me, but I'm just waving a microphone into his face. It is now on. Telmo, what do you know about the cat? Because I've got nothing. I haven't really paid attention to it.
So apart from the really, really cool video that they've released, it's basically an analog synthesizer with two VCOs, a triangle and a sawtooth. It's based on the 1970-something original cat. Mm. From what I've seen, it's got a really cool sub-octave mode, so it's great for bass lines. So it's based off of the original. Let me just check on my details. So it says it's basically two analog envelope generators for modulation. It's got 16-voice polychain, and... and it's obviously in that same sort of like Model D kind of like way.
It was one of
the
shorter ones rather than the Neutron, which is a bit wider.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's a Model D kind of like case. So it's still Eurorack form factor, and it looks amazing and sounds great.
The two oscillators, was it a paraphonic thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sick.
So you really can't go wrong with this sort of stuff. It's a sound that's it was used, from what I've seen, from Chemical Brothers to Devo. Devo fans?
Yeah, I like a bit of Devo.
Love Devo, right?
Yeah.
you can get those sort of sounds.
And
with
it's got a little cat face on it. What's not to like? Pete, I know you said it might have been sort of ARP clone type something, or people might have, like the original would have been possibly pushing ARPs.
It was about the same time as things like the Odyssey. It's a similar sort of lineage. Yeah. And I believe I either read or heard a statement that someone was... it's a bit third hand, but they were saying that someone that was involved with the ARP sort of made the accusation that it was pretty much a copy of the ARP Odyssey in some respects. It's got some very similar features, but it's a different beast in some other areas. I have to say that the control surface looks quite chunky for once. I mean, it's quite substantial.
Actually, big control. It doesn't have the Roland SE02 syndrome.
No, definitely not. It's because there's not a massive amount to it in the respect of controls. They are sort of reasonably sized. It looks like something, even though it's a relatively small case, it looks like it's something that you can actually get your hands on and sort of...
I just want to say that the knobs look super cool as well.
Oh yeah, they're kind of, they got a grey thing going on, don't they? Yeah. I love a good looking knob. I mean, oh yeah, oh, it's got little faders with little cylinders on them.
Yeah, so that's sort of very similar to the Odyssey in that respect.
Like, what's our voting? What, £250? That's kind of Model D money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be the sub 300. I mean, I haven't seen any kind of speculation on pricing as we stand here at the moment. So everything that's been in that format so far has definitely been a sub 300.
Yeah.
Starts out, and they always go down after a little while.
Short it's order. Usually like as soon as the first couple of batches have come in, they tend to duck it a little bit.
Yeah, certainly.
Should be cool.
Yeah.
I actually just had a thought. It's not a new release, but it's something that was sort of on the corners of my awareness, but I just rediscovered the other day. I remember when I went to Burfield with Andy to just mess around with some modular stuff. I was thinking what kind of cool modular specific effects would be nice to have, just to go to a studio and just mess around with things as to process pre-recorded audio with. And there's a company, it's a German company called Voicas, it's V-O-I-C-A-S. They capitalize the V and the C. But they've got two, one's just a germanium / LED drive fuzz thing, which sounds amazing. But they have a stereo bit reduction tool. Mm. And they had just kind of, imagine kind of a mostly sine wave, bit of wave folding kind of bass line going through. It's pretty subby and cool. And they're just putting that through, and it had that amazing vowely kind of thing going on. But I think there's some really good demos on their Facebook page. So Voicas or something. Reducer with, I think, an X instead of a C. And then Red Rover.
Who wants to spell things right?
Yeah, but the thing I think you'll love, Andy, and I really want to get them, and then you'll want them, is the main control. So bit reduction and the drive control is the Neve-style red knob with the two stabby bits on it. It's not stepped, but that's the actual, literally the physical knob cap thing. That's what they put on it.
It's like the same deal.
The Neve thing. They look amazing.
Okay.
Like there's a picture on their Facebook where they've got, obviously, the assembly line. They've got eight of them in a row, and it just looks like a bunch of Neve preamps or something.
That's cool.
It's really cool. But those are definitely worth checking out, so go on the Facebooks and have a look.
Yeah. I saw something that I had to double check just to make sure it's all out in gravy, and I'm on their website now, so it seems to be the case. Warm Audio has released the Bus Comp, which, if you're familiar with SSL, they've basically done it. They've done the standard kind of issue SSL stereo compressor, which is really exciting because back in my college days or whatever, when I was learning on the SSL duality, that thing was awesome.
Does it look like, you know, the classic styling?
It looks like, if you're familiar with the rack version of it, it looks like that. It doesn't look like, it's not the kind of more...
Let's have a look.
Yeah, it's like a rack version of it.
Although this one's kind of black rather than the light grey.
Yeah, the grey.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's it. So
the proper buttons and things.
Yeah, exactly. It's still got like that kind of VU. It's very much like you take a look at it and you know what it is straight away.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting for Warm to do this for quite a while because I know that other companies like Stam have, Stam Audio, which are a really cool company and well worth checking out.
Would they be a higher price kind of bracket compared to Warm Audio?
Actually, they're pretty similar because the thing you got to bear in mind about Stam is they're actually based in Peru, I think. Let me double check that. But they're based basically in South America, so you've got to consider how long it takes and the cost of getting them shipped.
Because
I know it can be. I've heard with Stam it can be quite a pain to get them sent over, but Warm Audio have, like I say, done that, and they're super reliable in terms of getting things over, which is really, really exciting. So that's well worth checking out, I think, for anyone that's kind of interested. Especially, you know, things like the SSL bus compressor are a really good one to have if you're like kind of looking to dip into outboard, because it's something that, you know, you don't necessarily need to apply to a vocal chain or anything like that. You can actually just send your mix through it, and it's going to do wonders from that perspective. So I would seriously recommend having a look out. And it wasn't Peru, it was Chile. That's where Chile's based.
Yeah. I know. Did you borrowed the it was the stereo? Was it an EVQ and preamp?
Yeah,
what do you reckon about that?
I love the preamp on it. The preamp was absolutely incredible. It definitely added something to it. Again, I hesitate to use the word warm, but it definitely added some form
that
of
analog depth, man.
Yeah, that analog depth. It definitely added tonality, because that was actually, I think, when you came up, we ran it through warm audio pre's, and they sounded really, really good. The EQ was also pretty decent, although I wasn't as convinced by that as I was the by the equalizers, if truth be told. I was really kind of humming and hawing about kind of going the full length and getting the EQ, pardon me, the pre's. It's very good. And the SSL one, I'm very excited to see, and I would like to give it a go.
Sounds good. What's next on the cards? Now, Andy, you've got some pop culture stuff. What are you searching up there, Pete? He's catching up on the warm audio.
Can I just say something about the warm audio stuff?
Yeah,
because
they're
also releasing two DI boxes.
That was the other thing. Yeah,
and an active one, and a new preamp as well, the TB12.
Is that a clone of anything, or is it just one of theirs?
It's a mic pre. It's a tone shaping mic pre. It's quite affordable. Well, apparently, to what I've seen, it's $599. Well, $599. It looks pretty awesome as well.
The TB12?
Yeah, that's the one.
Andy, on the clone check,
beast.
See if it's based on something. And what about the DI boxes? Because in terms of high-end DI boxes, all I've been thinking about is the Neve-designed ones, which I have no experience with at all. I just know, ooh, it's Neve.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far, what we know is that they have the Cinemag Transformers, which is something they've used that before.
To be honest, it means nothing to me. Andy, help enlighten me.
Yes, Andy, please.
The Cinemag Transformers are basically, they're used in an awful lot, to be honest, and they can, to a degree, shape the headroom, the tone that you get on your recording, but most importantly, it's probably the headroom that you can get out of them. So really, the better transformer that you've got, the more headroom you're able to drive through the track without it starting to distort. Okay. And even if it does, it can kind of do it in quite a nice way. Just on that one, as far as I'm aware with the TB stuff, it's actually kind of based around the API equipment. So I might be wrong on that, because they're not quite as blazing as, some of the, like that SSL one, like the 1073 or the WA73, I should say. That Warm do, but as far as I was aware, the kind of TB stuff, Tone Beast, is roughly based off the API, but I would probably consider it to be more one in their own right, I would say, which is cool. And the Transformers, like I say, it really affects the tonality and the headroom. Cinemag are used on an awful, awful lot of stuff. I don't necessarily want to quote what they are used on, although I'm sure I can quickly find out. They're used on an awful, awful lot. I want to say to a degree that Neve used them, but let me just fact check myself very quickly.
The auto fact checker.
Yeah, right. Customers.
Yeah. While we're on that one, what else did we have to chat about today? My memory has just been absolutely useless recently. So other than Andy, you're saving us some pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
I think we're basically done for sort of the new releases. There was the Behringer wrap up.
Yeah.
They just won't stop.
I suppose we're waiting for NAMM now, which is only, what, 2 weeks away, if that is.
Oh,
is it 16th?
So I think next week will be really interesting.
It should be. I know when we were talking to Korg as well, they've got at least three announcements, and they teased another one. I saw an article on Ask Audio today that they've not done another teaser of one of the bigger ones, which is pretty easy to guess if you look at their teaser, and that they've said it's an ARP clone. Like,
yeah, I did.
What
see,
else
I did
is
see
there?
That. Yeah, I did see that.
It's like, oh no, we're going to do an ARP Quadra now. It's like everybody wants an ARP Quadra. You know what it's going to be, and also Jean-Michel Jarre kind of he leaked it anyway. So. That's going to be pretty cool. And then the other two, one's going to be an exciting a bit of excitement for like 90s synth guys, and the other one.
What would you want to see though? What would you want to see, as in like
from Korg?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if they reissue old synths at a reasonable price, that's the only thing. Because
that's not going to happen.
The one that Jean-Michel Jarre leaked, it's super cool, but it's so expensive. Yeah. Oh my god! I don't know if there's any pricing flowing around yet, but it's so many money. I just want Roland to stop. Everyone's been asking
them making products, Roland.
Not in general, because their pianos are amazing. But in the synth world, they're just really sticking with this digital stuff.
And, yeah.
I mean, people are buying it, but and like the boutique series is really cool.
In theory,
everyone is just really wants analog stuff and interesting designs, and they're just not doing it. I mean, I kind of respect them for sticking to what they want to do, but it's just annoying.
Yeah, you just wonder how far down the rabbit hole they are now, right? So it's just like, okay, we're going to shift everything.
I don't want to downsize Roland, but it's pretty much they can do anything they want with their name on it. So it's...
Trainers with an 808 logo on them.
They were, weren't they? There was trainers.
Yeah, there were vinyl.
That was for 808 Day a couple of years ago, I think.
What about the ones that were floating around a week or so ago? They were handing them out to certain. So Roland were handing out trainers as a thank you present to certain customers.
Really? Okay, interesting. You'll have to tell me about that.
Yeah, but what's the size selection? That is the question. You know.
I don't know what sizes Mikey had a set.
Yeah. Right. Let's go for some pop culture. That's going to be a bit of a change of scene for the Rack Addicts thing, but we all in our various ways, we're into various medias, be it TV series, movies, books. Mm. But Andy definitely laps them up more than definitely I do. What have we got?
So, I was thinking about this. So I saw a film. It's called The Gentleman. It was a Guy Ritchie one. It was pretty good. But that's not what I'm going to talk about, although I initially thought I was going to. I started watching a series on Netflix called Van Helsing, and it's really good, but it's actually really awful. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is just those, like, so good but so bad. So what I think makes it is a really stupid concept in the best possible way. So this one was post-apocalyptic vampires, as you'd expect Van Helsing. You've also got to take relatively decent actors and kind of half okay writing, but I feel like the writers know what they're doing, so it's like good writing but bad, if that makes sense. Like you know exactly what's going to happen, but you like,
was it cheesy and formulaic?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And that kind of thing. If you've ever watched there was this zombie theory. It's basically anything on the Sci-Fi Channel that's not Sharknado is what I'm kind of talking.
Sharknado.
is basically what I'm talking about. They did another one, which was a zombie thing, which was actually a lot more to the side of crappy.
So the Van Helsing, is it, have it? I mean, obviously Van Helsing is a traditional name within the sort of vampire
like
medium as an opponent.
Dracula thing.
But is it Van Helsing in the context of like the film with...
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
No, so it's set in like modern times. It's a sort of post-apocalyptic thing. The vampire stuff happened. They're kind of like vampire zombies. And, you know, it's this woman's woken up, little bit of a kind of Walking Dead-esque thing, but she's got the power to turn vampires back into people. And then obviously this sets off a chain of events. But then you've got like all of the stupid characters, like the absolute butthole of the character. And then you've got, you know, the military macho man, and you've got like all of the, you know,
all these
people,
various
and,
archetypes.
Yeah, all of these archetypes. And I find that really satisfying to watch, because it's like you don't have to concentrate on it. It's really bad. And I was just wondering if you
it's not very taxing, you could just let it wash over you, so to speak.
To a degree, except I find myself getting way too involved in it, and that's what I wanted to find out whether
I totally know what you mean, and I'm gonna have to think on it. I've totally seen, I'm not sure if it's more series that I've got addicted to, I mean, like, this is so bad, but I love it.
Yeah,
it's mostly just films, I think, that I keep going back to. That okay, Sahara.
Oh, good shout. That's, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's not a great film, but I love
I'm
it
exactly
so
the same.
Much.
I got obsessed by that film as well. I watched it like more times than I should do. Yeah. Or National Treasure, if you've seen that. It's
National
like
Treasure's
a similar
good.
Kind of deal, except Sahara was better.
Sahara was better because it was actually kind of interesting. National Treasure ones are just really obvious. What was the other one? Has anyone seen Stealth?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's just this really... It's the bog-standard formula of scientist creates artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence gets too intelligent. Oh, no. But I like that one a lot more. That's Ex Machina.
Ex Machina was pretty clever, to be fair.
That was good. But, yeah, the Stealth is just... They just put that for me, and they're like, but what if it was a fighter jet? And they call, you know how there's like films where it's some kind of sci-fi thing and they'll be like, okay, we've got to have something pronounceable for the acronym for this military project. So they call this one the Extreme Deep Invader. So they called it like Eddie in the film. It's bad, but I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's good. Good fun.
Yeah, I love a good bad. Sometimes they're done really well because you kind of walk in and you think, oh, this is going to be really awful. But some like they're clever. Shaun of the Dead's by right should be awful. And then we had Cockneys versus Zombies, which was a relatively similar thing.
Why should Shaun of the Dead be terrible? Because I think it's an amazing film.
No, it's really good.
Why should it have just been the worst thing in the world?
I just think Zombies in Britain is just something that just by right screams bad.
Okay.
Have you been to London?
Yeah. Once. There were no zombies. I was really gutted. I just don't know. I didn't think it, like, walking into it, like, way back when I first watched it, I had no idea what to expect, and I thought it was going to be pretty cheesy and pretty lame, but it was really good. And then I watched Cockneys versus Zombies, which was really cheesy and really lame, and I also did kind of like it, but for the exact opposite reasons. Lesbian Vampire Killers is another one. Yes. Thank you, Nada. That is killer film, and that is just shit. Just out and out.
Rack Addicts After Hours. You can copy and paste that one over the top.
Yeah, that is pretty awful. In a good way. I think my favourite part of that whole film is the ending.
Because it's finally over.
No. Because they do. You've obviously seen it. You know the ending of it. They kind of lead into a sequel.
I don't exactly remember, just because I saw this such a long time ago. But you were talking about all these like cheesy like monster films.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was that weird one that I just kind of passed out
with
in
James
the middle
Corden
of?
In of all people. Yeah,
James like, Corden's
yes,
in it.
And it's matey from Gavin and Stacey as well, who no one remembers. What's his name? I don't care.
He's that irrelevant.
But it is the same guy. It's James Corden, that other guy that came through. And the funny thing about that film is that the ending is like Lesbian Vampire Killers, but it cuts out to like a werewolf, like an overly camp werewolf. And then it leads itself perfectly into the sequel.
Wait, there's a sequel to this as well?
No, not yet. Well,
no, they never made a sequel, I don't think.
No, they didn't. That's what I mean, though. But it ended as though they were going to make a sequel.
Yeah. Thank God they didn't.
Doghouse as well. Has anyone watched Doghouse?
No.
Dog Soldiers while we're on the dog thing. You've watched that, Telmo.
I did.
Oh my God, that's the best bad film, isn't it?
I did.
What's this one?
This is werewolves again.
It's a bit weird.
So you take.
Oh wait, Dog Soldiers.
So bunch of squaddies get landed in the Scottish Highlands. Yeah.
Okay.
Their mission is they think right. This film's ages old, so I'm gonna completely go into it. So if you haven't watched it, pause now, watch it, and I've made your life better. So Dog Soldiers is a bunch of squaddies get dropped in the Highland for what they think is going to be a training mission. Right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. Anyway, they come across this camp of special forces people who they thought they were up against, but the camp is completely torn up. They find one lone survivor and he's literally got his guts ripped out. Captain Ryan.
How many times have you seen this film?
I tell you what, mate, I've watched this film a lot. It's one of my favourite films.
To Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that, except not. And then basically, right. Moon goes down, howling. Werewolves, yeah? Imagine Jaws, Evil Dead, Shaun of the Dead, and anything else, like, it's the best film. It's got everything.
So that, is that the pinnacle of your best bad film tower?
100%. Yeah, that is literally, that's my Tower of Babylon of bad films. And on the top of it is Dog Soldiers.
It's like a plot smoothie.
Right? To the point where Dog Soldiers kind of, like, goes so high into the atmosphere, it turns on its axis and it's actually in heaven. That's how good Dog Soldiers is. It's
high praise for a terrible. What's its? I've got to see what its like Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, or whatever rating is.
It's got to be pretty high, mate. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Have you got anything absolutely terrible, Pete, that you actually really enjoy?
Yes, I mean, I've got a particular film that I was. I'm still a certain amount obsessed about, but I did get obsessed. It was sort of not just the film. It was, to a degree, it was the soundtrack, which was written by James Newton Howard, who's a major film. He's done it. I mean, the list of his discog for the films he's produced sort of audio for is endless, basically. So this is it's an M. Night Sharma film, which in theory you would have thought would be good, but it was absolutely panned by the critics. But I there's something about it. So it was Lady in the Water, if anyone's actually seen
it. No, I haven't even heard it.
So it's a kind of modern fairy tale, whereby, but it's set in a kind of condominium that's sort of run by a janitor. It's very strange. And basically the janitor finds this girl who seems to have emanated from the swimming pool. She's basically come from another world, or a sort of a parallel kind of world, to warn mankind of an impending kind of crisis and change things. But these other things, these creatures, which are like dog creatures made of sort of vegetation, I think they're called snarks
Weirder and weirder.
The whole fairy tale was written by M. Night Sharma and told to his children. Then he made a film out of it. It did awfully. I mean, it just about covered its its budget was $70 million to make, and it made $72 million.
So
just about squeaked past. It is quite old. It's 2006, so it's a few years, 14 years old. But there was a point, and it's a combination of, there's something about the twee story, and it did something for me. I don't know quite what, but also the soundtrack as well. It's got it's also got certain melodies in it that really.
So do you reckon
that's very inspirational?
A slightly different category of actually good film that did terribly in terms of the critics, because that's if you're talking about that, you're in Treasure Planet territory. No, which is incredible.
I don't know about that.
Treasure Planet's amazing and was destroyed by the critics.
Was that an animation?
That is a Disney film. It's great.
I watched it. I don't like that style of Disney animation, though. It scares me.
Yeah, I mean, this thing absolutely was panned. And what's the gentleman that's on Radio 5 and other the film critic that's...
I would not know.
Anyway, he... he's one of the regulars for BBC, and he absolutely detests it. When you hear his review, he's sort of reviled by the film and the idiocy of the storyline and so forth. But for me, and there's a bit of... it's not quite Deadpoolish, but there's a couple of elements where there's one particular character that does this, kind of breaks the fourth wall to the in a weird way, but commenting about standard way that films plot themselves. And he actually said, at this point in the film, it should be doing...
love a film that does that. Like, Wolf of Wall Street probably did it best, but, like, right? And
it's just so beautifully made.
It is really good, yeah.
It's amazing.
I still haven't watched any Scorsese flick.
Was it The Irishman? Yeah. Oh, wow, I did watch it.
Is it good?
It's really good. I think the apart from the fact of the you know, obviously, because you got Robert De Niro, and not to mess up with the story, because obviously you need to watch it. It's very long. But there's certain scenes in there's Al Pacino in it as well, and there's some CGI applied to the characters where they bounce back from being really old to being really young.
Oh,
and there's
cool.
Like a whole storyline. Some of the CGI looks a bit fake, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it's like Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A bit of the Uncanny Valley happening there.
Yeah. I know.
What's that?
Well, we can't have a pop culture thing this week without talking about cats.
Have you seen it, Nada?
I have not, but I watched the trailer and I was
the
like,
trailer's horrifying.
This is my nightmare. I can't watch this.
I watched it. I watched the live show of it like a couple of years ago. It
makes more sense though, because it's just here's some great theater because songs are amazing. It's not great.
I've never wanted to be tripping more because I already like it was really weird. I thought I was like everything that's happening around you. You think you were, but you feel fine. And it's and that actually makes it even more unsettling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the thing is, really when I watched the trailer, I think the more shocking thing wasn't the awful CGI or anything more than the casting.
Was it the scale of the cat humans?
Why? Jason Derulo?
Taylor Swift?
Why is he here?
James Corden? What's it from Downton Abbey? Maggie Smith?
Wait, Maggie Smith's
no, not
in it?
Maggie
she better
Smith,
not be.
Judi Dench.
Oh, Judi yeah. Dench. That was it. Yeah, sorry.
She's in it.
I mean, what the...
Maggie Smith has standards.
Yeah.
Idris Elba?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just love to, like, whoever cast these people is probably one of the best in the business to convince them to get on this. Yeah. So we're going to do a remake of Cats. Right, okay.
I playing? A giant cat. Yeah. Look, dude, the names of the cats as well. Like,
oh, right.
One's McCavity, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like one of the main songs.
Yeah, it's not a remake as such because there was videos, but they were just videos of the stage show. So it's actual first attempt. Yeah. But
it's an Andrew Lloyd Webber. Right?
Yeah, but in principle, if you were proposed it, you'd mostly think, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Very successful show. It's run very long runs in London and Broadway. Yeah.
I don't know why.
It seems to have turned into a bit of a car crash.
Well, that's the thing.
I think car crash is a very light.
But
they
still think it might do exceedingly well at the box office because it's not the at the end of the day it's all about money. So it's what they get in. So it doesn't matter how derided it is by the various critics all around the world.
Yeah, who sort of
I was going to say,
literally
I'm
horrified by it.
I'm quite tempted to see it to see how bad it
Me
is.
Well,
too,
I think
actually.
That it could have the opposite effect.
Let's have a trip. Let's go, guys. I'm for real down.
My sister's a bit of a theatre buff. Apparently, it only exists to have an excuse for the songs.
Yeah,
that's basically
it does,
why.
There is actually
no
narrative to Cats.
Yeah,
like, I remember watching.
They get abducted by aliens in some way,
something like that. And I remember watching it halfway through when I was at the.
It makes no sense.
When I was at the theatre, I watched it halfway through, and I got to the end, and I was like, "Well, I'm gonna have to Wikipedia this. What the hell is happening?" And I Wikipedia, it didn't make any more sense, but I could see everyone else was on their phone as well, like having a little flick through, and I'm like, "Yeah, good. I'm glad it's not just me."
So did you see it at a regional theatre or the London?
I saw it
in
Wimbledon.
Okay, so when it was touring, because how long ago was that?
Must have been maybe 3 or 4 years ago now.
So it's still because it's still touring. I saw it first at the original theatre in London, which the name escapes me, where it had been running for a good 20 years or 18 years or whatever. And it's an actual round rotating stage.
Ooh.
And you're right up against the stage. And when it all gets a bit weird,
because
they come in the audience.
What do you mean when it all gets a bit weird?
No, but it's fine when they're on stage. It's when they come off the stage and they sort of in the audience.
Weird until Rum Tum Tugger is like right in front of you.
My cavity.
Yeah.
But the fact that when you see it live and they're actually singing live and it's.
Yeah, it's a performance.
The performance is. You know, it's very effective, and it's great. But the critics aren't condemning the original. It's just the interpretation and the way it's translated and the CGI.
Well, it's like I remember reading something about it, and it was like at the premiere they were like, "Oh, how long has it taken you to get it?" And it's like, "I finished it this morning." And it's like literally like getting a dissertation in or something like that. It's like, "Oh, how's it going? You must be really proud." Yeah. I finished it this morning.
Oh, God.
Well, I think they've not necessarily done reshoots. But
no, they've re-released it. They had to put another
version. Well, they revisited the CGI because...
Yeah, they had to put another version out to cinema.
Oh, was that like the Sonic the Hedgehog film? Where they redid
some
CGI. No,
because they had
CGI.
The common decency not to release it until they'd updated the CGI. Whereas with this one, they've released it. And then they've reissued it.
Wait,
so maybe in the hope
it
that the first
out?
Issue becomes a cult film?
Is it out here?
Yeah. Well, okay. Which one? Sonic or...
No,
Cats?
The Cats.
I think Cats is out now.
Cats is out now. Yeah. The thing is, the whole idea of it is I'm not really a musical theater nerd, you know. I'm just like, it's fine, I'll watch it if it's on. So I've never seen Cats. Like, I have no interest in, like, general Cats. So I don't see how I would love this. But
some of them are so cute.
No.
Stay out of it, Tomo. They are cute, but obviously, like, I don't want to go all the way to a theater and watch a musical about cats. I saw the trailer and I was like, what on earth? Because people were just like the comments on Twitter, I was like, oh my god, like, at least watch the trailer. Why are they introducing someone? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's like you have all these big names and it's like Taylor Swift, Jason Derulo, Judi Dench, Idris Elba, Rebel Wilson, Ian McKellen introducing.
Ian McKellen.
Oh, not
oh,
him.
Man. No.
Yeah, they got Ian McKellen.
they got him too.
Rest
He's
in
dead.
Peace, ah. Ian McKellen.
So without watching the movie, it's a 5 out of 10 in Rack Addict.
yeah. And yeah, they got Ian McKellen, and then in the end it's like introducing this little girl and it's like, what is this, the 1930s? Like, what?
Yeah,
but the thing is, I kind of want to watch it because I love train wrecks.
Yeah, it's like why I was so bummed out that Jeremy Kyle was cancelled. I love watching it.
I know, right? So Jeremy Kyle was cancelled, so I've decided to turn my attention to Cats.
Fair enough. Well, let's bail out of Cats because I'm starting to feel ill. I think I've just got the trailer running through my brain.
So far, it's according to these stats that I've got here, financially, it hasn't gone.
Yeah,
that well so far, so
serves them right.
95 Surprise. Million budget estimated to produce it. Domestic, which is obviously US take so far, is only 22 million. Oh. So I don't think it's performed anywhere near how worldwide so far 43 million.
Oh, yep.
So they haven't even covered their costs so far, but these are mostly early figures. But
you'd expect them to kind of make it back within the first weekend these days, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the gamble. That's what people are expecting.
Unless they manage to do it on, like, when it gets released, but then again, I doubt it.
Avengers movies usually make the money back right away.
Yeah, I was going to say,
well,
it's a couple of hours, usually.
Uh-huh. Endgame
really
has certainly
they
become
512
the most...
Avengers movies this week. I mean, it's going to be great.
Endgame has now become the most...
is it highest grossing?
Highest grossing movie of all time.
How much?
Managed to.
Yeah. Is it in the billions yet?
Yeah,
it's two, oh, no something way. 2.5 billion or something Jesus. Like something in that region.
Still haven't seen it. No spoilers. Don't let me know. I do plan on watching it in a couple of years. Just got to avoid spoilers for that long. Oh, man. Well, I think that's basically all we've got for today, unless anybody else has some burning things they just need to get onto the internet. I implore our listeners to please stay safe. Don't go anywhere near a cinema that's showing Cats. And we will see you hopefully next week. Thank you very much. Farewell.
Rackaddicts After Hours was brought to you by music.
Oh no! There you go, you can cut it off after the first go around anyway.
That's a bit weird.